The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
You put another million soca on the books yesterday, and if this run comes in as forecast, we're about a fifth of the way there. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's July 5th. I'm Dave Benninger. Some of you are telling us it's been a little slow out there today, so we'll look a little further south to Area M's North Peninsula, some of whose fleet went on catch restrictions.
It's 4,500 pounds for A boats, down to 2,000 pounds for B boats, and then 1,000 pounds for C boats.
Is that a harbinger of restrictions to come here in the bay? Let's hope not. But one small processor in Naknek says right now they're taking all the catch they can get.
We're basically buying setnet fish right off the beach here in Naknek. Anybody who's going to sell to us will buy. We're paying $1.30 per pound if they're delivered here.
Naknek Family Fisheries, one of the couple of outfits in the bay showing there's more than one way to skin this cat. Plus, historian John Branson gives a tour of Libby's number 23, the double ender at Port Allsworth that is on the National Registry of Historic Places. You can reach us by phone or email with feedback, suggestions, letters from home, or best yet, to tell us how things are shaping up and shaking out where you're at, 842-5281, or Dave, Molly, or Fish at kdlg.org. Let's run down the daily data. July 4th was the third day in a row the Bay put a combined million-plus sockeye on the books. Total catch yesterday was 1.1 million fish. Season total now, 7.5 million. Total escapement yesterday, 500,000. 2.7 million total counted as escapement this year. With in-river estimates, the total run to Bristol Bay through midnight is 10.6 million. Out of the preseason estimates of 46 to 51 million sockeye. Ugashit catch Monday, 78,000. Season total, 938,000. Ugashit River escapement, 27,700. On the season, 160,000. In-river estimate in Ugashit, 100,000 sockeye. Igigig District catch Monday, 367,000 sockeye. Total so far, 2,250,000. Igigig River escapement, 55,000. Total so far, 660,000. Closing in on the 800,000 lower end of the goal. Naknek-Quijack District catch Monday, just 173,000 fish. Season total, 1,168,000. Quijack River escapement, 114,000. Total now, 345,000. Another 250,000 sockeye estimated in river. Naknek River escapement, 97,000. Total now, 564,000. Nooshigak District catch Monday, 460,000 sockeye. 3,085,000 on the season out of the Nooshigak District. Escapement here on the west side, the sonar at Portage Creek counted 79,000 sockeye Monday, pushing the total to 402,000 in the Nooshigak River. That is now past the lower end of the goal of 370,000 fish. Portage Creek sonar counted another 5,000 kings yesterday, bringing that total to 110,000, also past the goal. Wood River Tower had its highest counts yet, 112,000 sockeye Monday, plus another 36,400 through 6 a.m. Total now on the Wood River, 560,000, also closing in on the 700,000 lower end of the escapement goal range. Agushik Tower counted 12,400 reds Monday, 6,500 more through 6 a.m., total of 40,000 now, and the Togiak Tower still counting in the hundreds. Average sockeye per drift delivery yesterday, Igigik sitting atop the board, 969 fish, Nooshigak 561, Ugashik 313, Togiak 171, Naknek-Quijack down at the bottom here, 146 per drift delivery average. Permit registrations, not too much change from Monday. Igigik 354 permits on 282 vessels, climbing by one permit in 48 hours. Ugashik 261 permits on 202 vessels, plus 4 in 48. Naknek Kwijak 583 on 476 vessels, plus 57 permits in 48. Nushigak 402 permits on 308 vessels, no changes planned. Togiak 42 on 42, no changes planned. 1,642 drift permits registered as of 9 a.m. this morning, climbing to 1,704 in 48. 333 D-boats today, climbing to 350 in 48. Little change in the allocation splits noted yesterday, except Kwijak Setnetters climbed up a bit. We have our email open, waiting on Port Muller test fishery catches from today. So far, not coming down. Let's look around the state, see how the salmon harvest is going elsewhere. First, the totals. 171,000 Chinook are on the books in Alaska, most of that from Southeast Troll Fisheries. 3,781,000 chum have been harvested in Alaska so far, most coming from Prince William Sound. 37,000 coho caught so far, almost all out of the Southeast Fisheries. 3.8 million pinks on the books statewide, South Peninsula leading with two-thirds of that catch. Sockeye catch now 12,825,000 fish, Bristol Bay more than half of that. Elsewhere, Upper Cook Inlet has put up 213,000 reds, Copper River Drifters 870,000, North Peninsula 1.1 million, South Peninsula 1.4 million, Chignik 613,000 reds, Kodiak 391,000 reds. Total commercial caught salmon statewide, all species, through July 4th, 20,645,000 fish. Let's run down Port Muller's catch from yesterday. Nothing new in yet as of 6:45 today. Again, a note on those numbers. Very important to you this time of the season. We know that, and we'll have them as soon as we get them, more likely than not in our 7 a.m. newscast each day. Yesterday's catch by station. Station 2, 1, and 3. Station 4, 8, and 6. Station 6, 12, and 18. Station 8, 26 and 31. Station 10, 6 and 12. And a big day at Station 12, 78 in the 4.5 and 38 in the 5 1/8. Again, this is from July 4th. The Station 12 catch is not included in the mean daily catch index, which was 53, down from 65 on the 3rd, down from 63 on the 2nd. Temperature dropped at Port Muller on the 4th. 9.3 degrees Celsius, down from 12.3, the season high thus far. Keep in touch with us, Dave, Molly, or Fish at KDLG.org, or call us here at the station, 842-5281. We could use some good photos from you out there if you get the chance. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on listener-supported KDLG. Back in a moment.
Support comes from Crowley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years. Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
A few of you checked in today, and Naknek Drifter tells us things were pretty slow yesterday and today. And Ecock Setnetter says most of the beach is fishing small gear for the small fish so far, and it's getting worn out with all of the openings. And Igigik Setnetter says yesterday was great, but today was slow. Ugashik Drifter tells us fishing was a bit slow, tender service low on groceries. Let us know what you think out where you're at. Further south, Area M's North Peninsula sockeye fishing is going well, so well, in fact, that the main buyer is having trouble keeping up with the catch. Bob Murphy is the area management biologist and is based in Port Muller.
There are limits effective today from the one shore-based processor here in Port Mueller. This is the largest processor on the North Peninsula, and they just went into effective this morning. We on our fishery that was announced this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's 4,500 pounds per A boats down to 2,000 pounds for B boats, and then 1,000 pounds for C boats. So anywhere from 1,000 to 4,500 pounds.
Peter Pan is the main shore-based buyer in Port Mueller. According to the company's website, the plant can process about 250,000 pounds of salmon per day. The North Peninsula fisheries were closed Sunday evening and took a day off Monday, but the escapement and harvest had seen a steady, sudden build till then.
The last, actually, 10 days or so, things have kind of picked up on the north side dramatically, so, and it's been kind of gradual, and the catches have been pretty strong, so, and that's kind of what instituted the limits for the one shore-based processor we have here on the north side. And essentially that things are starting to pick up in the bay and potentially exporting capacity to King Cove from Port Mueller is kind of getting limited, and those are some of the factors.
To date, the North Peninsula fleet has put away just over 1 million sockeye. Bob Murphy says after a slow start, escapement is now going great.
You know, so far our runs are all, you know, we have our Ilnik and our Sandy runs are real strong. They're some of the best on record right now. Our Bear River run is on track. We expect that, I'd expect things to pick up a little bit in the coming days for that as well. And Nelson Lagoon is on track to meet its escapement goal. The harvest in Nelson Lagoon are slowly picking up from the previous week, which is a good thing. So we're hoping Nelson Lagoon starts picking up as well. So Nelson and Bear River are our two rivers right now that are just on track for escapement goals, and Sandy and Ilnik are already achieved their escapement goals, so they're way ahead of schedule.
Again, that's Bob Murphy, Area Management Biologist for the North Peninsula Fisheries in Area M, speaking with us today from Port Mueller. Back in a moment.
Hi, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Think chilling your fish is too expensive? New chilling systems on the market offer good value at competitive prices, and they're geared towards smaller boats. They mean a better price and pay themselves off in a few years. Of course, you have questions, and help is available. Call 439-3566. Talk about what works for you. Salmon's future is chilling. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
We know that most of you will be selling all of your catch to one of about a dozen main buyers here in Bristol Bay. Buyers who can process huge amounts of fish quickly. Buyers that sometimes you don't see eye to eye with, but it's what you've always done and your parents always did before you and so on. But tonight let's check in with one of the smaller buyers. There seems to be a growing number of you, perhaps mostly among the SetNet fleet, who are selling your catch some other way. Finding eager consumers back south or east. Naknek Family Fisheries is a small business that started 10 years ago that hand cuts its products and keeps finding new markets to sell to. I called over today to see how their season is going. Company founder and manager Izetta Chambers was out on some errands, but assistant manager Jesse Coleman offered to fill in for an update. I know on your side of the bay there was a little bit of anxiety about where these fish were. Tell us how it's looking for you now here today.
We've had a couple of good fishing days and some pretty decent deliveries. I think it slowed down last night, but hopefully it'll pick up again here soon. We definitely have a good amount of fish to process, and our crew actually, they're up till 5 this morning doing a fresh fillet order, and we shipped that out this morning. So we're getting fish in, and we're getting them back out just as soon as we can.
Remind us where your fish is coming from.
We're basically buying SetNet fish right off the beach here in Naknek. Anybody who's going to sell to us will buy. We're paying $1.30 per pound if they're delivered here, and if they have to be tendered, then you know a little bit off the top of that. But so those are our main fishermen at this point.
And I gather that a lot of the fishermen that sell to the smaller outfits appreciate the good price and sort of the one-to-one relationship. Is that what you sense so far?
Yeah, it's been really great having face-to-face interaction with the people we're buying fish from, and we can take that relationship and kind of use that to our advantage when we're selling our fish. We shake hands with the fishermen that bring us fish, and so there's not a bunch of links in the chain so to speak.
And on the other end, where are your fish heading, say, this week or this season?
We have a pretty sizable order for AMCC, that's Alaska Marine Conservation Council's Catch of the Season program. They're taking orders for boxes of frozen vacuum pack fillets. And I'm not sure what the count is on that, but I think they're expecting up to 9,000 pounds to be distributed in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and I believe Homer is the other site. And we have a couple of other markets, too, but that's really our big one this year.
Oh, very good. Well, if the numbers hold up here, I think that Naknek Wheatjack is going to see a whole lot of fish come very soon here. Are you nervous at all about some sort of a big peak that might plug everybody up?
You know, the attitude around here is we can always use more fish. You know, we have really good crew. We have a couple of really experienced people working on the line. So, you know, I'm seeing what they're putting out, and I'm very hopeful that we can, you know, keep taking fish, and hopefully they'll come as promised.
Jesse, tell me a little bit about your product.
We do a couple of different products. We're doing pinbone out fillets this year, which are a pretty, you know, high-end thing because it's a lot of very intensive manual labor to remove all the pinbones. So that's one of our kind of higher-end products. We also do pinbone-in fillets. We are also, I believe we're sending out H&G, and we also do custom processing. So basically you come to us and say, here's what I want, you know, with your own catch if you're a fisherman. And so those are really, you know, the big products.
I know there's a lot that goes into just focusing on the quality of the handling and the rest.
Well, there is kind of a good example. So when we bring our guts and our waste to the fish grinder here in the city dock in Naknek, some of the port attendants have noticed, they're like, wow, those, you know, there's not a lot of meat left on the bone. So we get, you know, very high yield from our fillet man. He does a really good job of, you know, not wasting any fish, and, you know, speaks a lot when to our attention to sort of detail when people at the dock notice how clean our fish carcasses are.
All right, Jesse Coleman at Naknek Family Fisheries, thanks so much. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Now it's time for a history lesson. Lest you think you have it hard out there on the water today, turn your attention to the double ender, that relic of the non-motorized Bristol Bay fishery that disappeared in the early 1950s. One of these double enders is on display in Port Allsworth. It's a 30-footer built in 1914 in a West Coast shipyard. We sent Hannah Colton up that direction last week. She spoke with resident historian extraordinaire John Branson and has this look at the fleet of Bristol Bay past.
Libby's number 23 was one of the thousands of wooden sailboats manned by two-man crews, back when the Bristol Bay fleet was totally at the mercy of the wind and the tides.
Not only did you have to be a really good fisherman in this era, you had to be a darn good sailor.
John Branson is the historian for Lake Clark National Park in Port Allsworth. He says you had to be a skilled sailor back then, because any little mistake could cost you dearly.
Because when you were trying to deliver your fish to the scow and you went, if you missed it, you might have to wait 12 hours till the tide changed to come back around.
The result could be a boat full of spoiled fish, or could be much worse.
Because there was, you know, there's a section of the Quijack Bay called Dead Man Sands. If they went dry in that shallow bay, and then when the riptide came back in, and if they were sideways, broadside to the oncoming tide with the big wind, they could swamp, and many did.
This, says Branson, is part of the reason for the paint job on this boat. It's painted a butterscotch brownish orange.
And every cannery had their own color scheme, so this is Libby's orange, you know, because they didn't have radios to communicate with the superintendent. Could look out with binoculars and see his, he could identify his boats out there fishing by, you know, visual, by the color.
In this way, the boss would know if all of his boats were accounted for or if he had to send out a monkey boat to tow some crew to safety. Most Bristol Bay fishermen during this era were from Italy and Northern Europe. According to the book Sailing for Salmon, there could be fierce rivalry between the nationalities as they tried to outfish each other. And judging by the two different types of stoves that are on display on the double ender, It seems they couldn't agree on the best way to cook, either.
The Italians favored the Santa Maria stove. It was a coal burner where they would make their cioppino and different chowders, you know, and spaghetti and stuff, and they would get the food from the cannery. Then the Swedes, Norwegian people, and everyone else liked those Primus Optimus stoves.
A mealtime staple for many, says Branson, were hardtack biscuits, the forerunner of pilot bread.
The Italian word for it is galette. If you think you could just chew that like you do a pilot bread, forget it. You'll have to go see a dentist. That'll break your teeth, literally. That is cast iron stuff.
Of course, with just a tent for shelter, the food had to be tough, as did the fishermen and their gear. Long before Grundins and neoprene were invented, fishermen would wear oilskins, an old-fashioned type of rain jacket.
And they would have to put Vaseline around their wrist because it was rigid and it would chafe, you know.
Among the hardy men who manned the Libby's number 23 was a schoolteacher named John Corray.
And he's the man that brought the boat up from Graveyard Cannery right here. Cogeong, Libby's Cogeong or Graveyard Cogeong.
Using a small gas engine in 1953, Corray brought the boat up the Quijac to where he and his wife were teaching school in Pedro Bay. By the next year, they'd hauled the double-ender on a trailer from Iliamna over the New Halen Portage Road to the upper New Halen River. That's how it got, eventually, to Lake Clark, where it was used for recreation and to haul cargo by several different families. By Branson's estimate, the Libby's number 23 is one of only 10 or so museum-quality double-enders left in existence. A few years ago, he successfully got it listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's the only such listing, says Branson, from the nation's last great wild salmon fishery. Reporting in Port Allsworth, I'm Hannah Colton.
Aluminum had not yet been discovered. Boats were built of wood the old-time way. No inboard V8 engines to push them through the waves. Only gaff rigged sails they worked by hand. They were doing fine till that day in 1915. 100 lost their lives, a dead man.
Well, we kept the email open, and this just in from Dr. Scott Rayborn, the catches from July 5th, Port Muller. Here's his note in his email. Attached are today's catch update and the latest age composition estimates for Port Muller. Stock composition estimates for catches on July 1 and 2 should be released tomorrow morning. Those for July 3 and 4 by tomorrow afternoon if there are no transit delays. He says the boat was outbound today and fished all stations 2 through 12, but will return to port tonight due to a questionable weather forecast for tomorrow. Here's today's catches from the Port Muller test fishery by station. Raw data here just in. Station 2, 5, and 4, sockeye. Station 4, good catch, 20 and 26. Station 6, 18 and 30. Station 8, 11 and 18. Station 10, 5, and 7. Station 12, 14, and 17 fish. Totals, that's 73 in the 4.5 and 102 sockeye in the 5 and an 8. Mean daily catch index from the July 5th catches at Port Muller Test Fishery today, 64. Temperature was recorded at 9 degrees Celsius. So that's just in from today. Got a little bit late, but we've got a couple of letters in the mailbag to pass along this evening. To the captain and crew of the Francis Annette, Gloria and the girls wrote in to say, we hope you guys are having a good fishing season. Happy late 4th of July. The girls can't wait to see their daddy. Another letter here. This one is from Sarah and Ken Berger to their son Hunter Berger aboard the Sunlight. Hunter, your folks say you're turning 16 years old today. And they wanted to wish you a happy birthday. In other fisheries news, the captain of a small cruise ship touring southeast Alaska was discovered dead in his cabin yesterday morning. Ken Adams was the captain of the Admiralty Dream, a 153-foot vessel operated by Alaska Dream Cruises based in Sitka. State troopers responded. They say they found nothing suspicious about the death. The ship has a capacity of 58 passengers. And a brief bit of sports news here before we go. Alaskans took first place in all three divisions of the annual Mount Marathon race yesterday in Seward. In the men's division, Fairbanks skier David Norris not only won the race, he set a new record, 41 minutes, 26 seconds. He was a rookie at Mount Marathon. The women's division, Christy Marvin of Anchorage took first with a time of 51 minutes and 2 seconds. In the junior division earlier today, Anchorage's Luke Jager won again with a time of 27 minutes, 29 seconds. He also took first place last year. We're going to pull up the weather forecast before we go here this evening. Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast. Tonight, southwest winds of 15 knots, seas 3. Tomorrow, southwest 25, seas 5. Small craft advisory going into effect. Wednesday night, west winds 20 knots, seas 6. In the area from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a little bit stronger weather. Tonight, southwest 25 knots, seas 7. Small craft advisory in effect. Tomorrow, southwest 25, seas 7 with patchy fog and rain. Wednesday night, west winds 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. That's it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We're glad to have you tuned in here to listener-supported KDLG. I'm Dave Bettinger. Catch our replays at 10 and 2 a.m., and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.